Chapter 7, Ghost World Summary. So what does all of this mean? Let's just summarize the key concepts here and what's going to benefit you most in moving forward looking at 2022. Now, let's remember, first of all, that the assumption of this entire book is that we're going to see a mass die-off following these vaccines. I think that's a pretty safe assumption that we're going to have some level of die-off, especially since we already have maybe up to 1 million Americans already killed by the vaccines. But we can't know precisely in advance how large the die-off will be. I would imagine that over the next decade, some states are going to lose, on the low side, 15% of their population, let's say, and other states might lose, as we've talked about, 30%, or maybe a little bit over 30%. So it just depends on how bad this gets in the after effects. And even the scientists who made the vaccines, they don't know the answer to that. They would have had to run long-term clinical trials to get that information. And since they did not do that, we don't really have those data. But remember that the die-off that we're looking at here need not only happen from vaccines alone. There are economic catastrophes coming, some of which we've talked about here. There's the collapse of the rule of law. There's the possibility of civil war, possibility of war with Russia or China. There are a lot of other events, even a grid down scenario where people lose clean water in their cities and a lot of people die from water contamination. A lot of scenarios where many lives could be lost that aren't even related to the vaccine. And I think when you put all of that together, we are most definitely looking at a significant reduction of the U.S. population between 2022 and 2032. No question in my mind. Now, if you agree with that basic assumption of this book, that there will be a significant die-off, then actually it's not that hard to anticipate the consequences of such a die-off. And that's really all that we've done in this book. We've walked through the political consequences based on who's taking the vaccine and where they live and how they vote and so on. We've looked at the economic consequences, both at the micro level and the macro level. And don't forget about the deflation factor that I just covered in the last chapter. That's very important to understand. We've covered how people might live and survive in the post-collapse economy, what kinds of new professions or careers might exist in this environment, and what will have value, because it's a very different world if this comes true as we anticipate. We also talked about cultural consequences and then took a look at the gluts and the what I call the lacks or the scarcity of what we'll see in society. And really, these are not that difficult to anticipate. It's just that most people haven't bothered to think about it, or they haven't just really been interested in looking ahead and like, what's going to happen if we lose 25% of the population in California, for example, or if we lose 20% of the city workers that run New York City. What's that going to look like? So that's really all that we've done in this book, is we've taken the core assumption of the die-off and then we've projected it into the future using what we know about finance and economics and geopolitics and culture and how society works. So I think that there will be surprises, of course, things that we could not anticipate. There's no doubt about that. We don't have a crystal ball. We can't see everything. But the overall trends will follow this if the die-off is as large as we anticipate. That's the main assumption of this entire book. The after effects are not that complicated to calculate. So the practical upshot of this for you, the listener or reader, is to ask yourself key questions. How does this affect me? Think about where you live, or think about where your assets are currently located. What's your plan for retirement, or for saving money, or passing money on to the next generation? Or what kind of lifestyle do you want to support for yourself in the years ahead? And how might that plan be altered by everything that we've talked about here stemming from the ghost world die-off? Well, obviously, if the ghost world die-off happens as we predict it will here, you don't want to have money in real estate in a blue city, right? Because you're going to lose your shirt. You probably don't want to have your savings in municipal bonds, for example, because those are going to become worthless in many cases. You probably don't want to have your savings in fiat currency even because of what's going to happen there. Massive money printing followed by probably a debt bomb blowout. So you can decide, obviously, what's the best strategy for you. I would encourage you to, if possible, work with a professional financial planner who is also on board with these concepts. And that might be very difficult to find. A lot of financial planners are just sort of buy and hold strategists. They're like, oh, the market's going to go up forever. Housing's going to go up forever, and just buy and hold. That's probably not a very good plan, given that we're about to go through some of the biggest changes in human history. So in my opinion, although I'm not a financial advisor and I'm not offering you personal financial advice, you have to do what's best for you in your particular situation. But I would say find financial advisors who have a mental model that is much more expansive than the typical mainstream mental models of, you know, mainstream investors. I think mainstream investors are going to get slaughtered in the markets because I think we're going to lose a lot of value as the money supply ultimately shrinks catastrophically without warning. You're going to lose stocks and bonds and real estate value and leveraged debt instruments and so on, interest rate bets, derivatives, all these things. I think they're going to suffer catastrophic losses. But that's just my opinion, and other people might disagree. Some people think that you can print money forever and it has no consequence. There's a name for those people. They're called morons, by the way. But there are a lot of people out there who think that that's true, probably because they've never lived through a hyperinflationary financial collapse. After the financial collapse, they will no longer believe those things, but some people have to learn these lessons the hard way. Another important practical takeaway from this is to look at your skill set. How are your skills or your knowledge, how is it marketable in this ghost world economy? We talked a lot about the economy. We talked a lot about the shrinking of the entire economic ecosystem. What skills do you have? And do they have value in a society where there's a big die-off? If you have medical skills, you're going to be in very, very high demand. If you have skills on how to demolish buildings, you're also going to have very high demand. If you have repair skills, if you can repair electronics or small engines or do welding even, you're going to have a lot of demand for your services. Where are you not going to have high demand? Well, let's say you have a PhD in astrobiology and you work at the local university. Probably not going to be a strong future for that particular career path because universities will shrink, funding for universities will shrink because state budgets will shrink, and those highly specialized areas that are especially academic or philosophical in nature, there's just not going to be that much of a real-world application, especially during a crisis where people are trying to figure out how to feed themselves or you know, how to function in a civilized way, how to keep the power grid going. No one's going to care about astrobiology in that scenario. If you think about it, the higher academic studies and specialties that are characterized by PhDs and so on are really a luxury of a society that has an excess of resources. So, in other words, in a very low-tech, flat society that is, let's say, agrarian and everybody's trying to feed themselves, there are very few PhDs. Why? Everybody's busy trying to grow food and not starve. Only in a society that's highly mechanized and therefore highly complex can you have so much excess food production and excess energy production and excess product production that some percentage of the population can have the luxury of spending their entire lives thinking about things, figuring things out mentally, you know, whether it's astrobiology or astrophysics or anthropology or what have you. That's a luxury of a highly complex society. Those luxuries vanish when society fails because of its complexity. So if you happen to be a PhD in some area, it's great to have a backup skill. So yeah, maybe you're an astrophysicist, but you also know how to grow food. Or you also know how to, repair glass windows or something. I mean, some practical skill that has value in the real world. Sewing. You know, people joked about me recently when I was talking about this in my podcast about how I was buying sewing machines and I'm learning sewing and I'm buying all kinds of different thread and needles and so on, trying to figure out how to repair clothing and bags and things like that. And, you know, we forget about the value of being able to mend clothes. Well, think about this post-collapse world. You're going to have a lot of secondhand clothes, but you're not going to have a lot of manufacturing of new clothes. So where is there going to be very high demand? Well, repairing clothing and altering clothing. You're going to see people wearing clothes that have patches on the knees or patches on the elbows. It's going to be like, much like the way it was in the 1930s and 40s and 50s in America. You fixed your clothes. And so somebody has to be an expert with a sewing machine, needle and thread, and shoe repair as well. Practical skills. Animal husbandry. You know how to handle a herd of cows. You know how to help a mama cow give birth when she's having difficulty. These are practical real world skills. I mean, you can have a PhD and also know how to rescue a baby calf that's being born sideways. Seriously, that's a real world skill. And this is why modern day farmers, especially small ranchers, are going to do very well, because they have a whole spectrum of skills. Your small farmers and ranchers right now, they are very practical people, very hands-on people. They can repair the pump for water well. They can help a cow give birth. They can build fences. They can fix a tractor tire. They can replace a hydraulic hose. They can do some welding. They can do everything. I mean, not in the university academia setting. They don't know about astrobiology, but they can sure do things with their hands in the real world where it matters. You know what I think a great profession will be in this economy? Running a local physical printing press. I think there's going to be a resurgence of physically printed local pamphlets and newspapers. Seriously, I think that if you have a way to print, I don't know, old school printing machines, I don't know what they are, I don't own any like that, I'm not an expert in that area, but if you can print things, and I'm not talking about just on a laser printer with toner, I'm talking about mass production of essentially local newspapers using ink that you purchase by the barrel, I think that's a very valuable thing. And I think that's going to make a resurgence coming back because of this collapse. But that's just my estimation. Might be wrong about that. I think there's going to be a lot of people who don't want to live in the electronic world, especially when the power grid doesn't function and you can't get electronic parts. And you might have an EMP attack as well, who knows, or a nuclear war with an EMP after effect. And I think a lot of things are going to go low tech. And that's why I have an entire audiobook that I'm working on called Resilient Prepping, which is about essentially low-tech solutions for every area of your life. And I think that this is a very important strategy for prepping, not only in terms of having the stuff that you need, but I mean prepping your skills so that you are marketable, that you can add value to a local economy in a low-tech economy. And I've mentioned some examples here, like sewing skills and animal husbandry skills and so on. But there can be a lot of other skills, medical skills, welding, repair, salvage, as we've talked about, a lot of really practical skills. Just do everything you can to boost up those skills. And by the way, just being more of a, quote, handyman around the house, and you don't have to be a man, you could be a handy woman too. You can be any gender and learn how to replace doorknobs and just be handy around the house. That's a valuable skill to have because you're going to have to rely more on yourself. One of the things that I've done, for example, is I have a full complement of plumbing tools and plumbing repair parts for PEX plumbing. So I have PEX line couplers and elbows and tools and crimps and all kinds of things to repair PEX lines or install PEX lines, because I know I'm going to have to rely more on myself to do a lot of plumbing repairs. And PEX is the way to go. So it's good to have those tools in advance and even have spare parts in advance. I have also purchased manual calculators. These are mechanical calculation machines. You literally punch in the numbers on the front of the machine. It's not digital. It uses no electricity. And you can do additions. You basically punch in numbers, and then you pull a lever or you rotate a handle, and then you punch in the next series of numbers and you rotate the handle again. And that's an addition machine. And these machines, when you rotate the handle backwards, it's subtraction. Yeah, literally, this is how it works. These are mechanical machines that can be used at retail in a low-tech environment. You're trying to add up a bunch of prices. I guess you could do it on paper, but these days, everybody's forgotten how to do math, it seems. So a lot of these machines could be quite valuable in that context. I also have, just as an interesting side note, I have some historical multiplication machines that came out of the old Soviet Union. These are some very advanced machines. You can do multiplication and division using nothing but some number setting, and it's shaped like a giant cylinder, and you crank the handle, and it does. You can do addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division mechanically on a machine. It's quite remarkable. Obviously, nobody makes those anymore because everything's digital, but in a low-tech world, it would sure be a great idea to have mechanical, literal computers. These are computing machines. And obviously, that's where the word computer comes from, because they were machines that engaged in computing. And that's what these are. These are, in essence, early computers, non-digital. So take this information and apply it to your own life in the way that makes the most sense to you. And if you feel it's appropriate, share this information with others. Now, I give you permission right here if you'd like to copy the MP3 files onto a thumb drive and hand that thumb drive to a friend or a colleague, go ahead and do it. You have my permission. No problem. Copy the PDF file over there as well, and they can read it or they can print it. If you wish, you can burn these to a DVD or, I don't know, an old CDR. You can put it on a hard drive. As far as I'm concerned, you can post it on a torrent website. You can post it on your website. Let people download it. You can make videos out of these and post them on Brighteon or BitChute or anywhere you want. I'm just trying to get the information out there. So feel free to repost this. I only ask that you just give credit to the author, myself, Mike Adams, and then link to naturalnews.com, because that's where everybody can find all the audiobooks. They just go to the top of naturalnews.com, click on audiobooks. They can download all the other books for free. And there are more books coming, by the way. I really enjoy teaching these concepts. And I know that many people enjoy hearing these analysis books, because I've heard a lot of positive feedback from many, many thousands of people over the last couple of years just from the books I've done. And people find them to be extremely valuable. I've heard so many positive comments about Survival Nutrition, by the way. That's a life-saving book. Don't miss that book. And I'm willing to bet a lot of people are going to enjoy this book, and also Resilient Prepping especially, which I'm trying to finish that up. Still working on that one. But feel free to share the word, you know, send out a link in your email. You can't share naturalnews.com on Facebook or Twitter, because that domain is banned due to censorship. So we may have a URL associated with this book. I think we might register, for example, ghostworld2022.com, and you'd probably be able to share that. I don't know if that's the final domain we're going to use, but it likely is. For Survival Nutrition, for example, you would share survivalnutrition.com. So I think we're going to do ghostworld2022.com, and you probably will be able to share that. In any case, get the word out there. help other people, get them up to speed on these concepts, and then you're going to have somebody that you know who is also well prepared for what's coming. And that's a great thing to achieve, because the more people you have around you who are prepared and informed and anticipating what's coming, the fewer people are going to panic, frankly. And the better off you're all going to be, because your social support network, if it's made of people who are prepared, then you're going to do much better as a community, as a group, maybe as a family. So spread the word. Help others learn this information. This is about surviving what's coming. Not only surviving, but thriving during this time. Because remember, they can't kill us all. They can only kill the ignorant and the gullible, frankly. They can't kill the rest of us very easily at all. I mean, they try to kill the rest of us, they're going to actually have to fight for it, you know, drop bombs and bullets and everything. We're not going to just line up and get injected with a suicide shot. No, that's for people who are gullible and ignorant, and yeah, a lot of them won't make it. But we will make it because of this knowledge. So thank you for listening. Be sure to check out my daily situation update podcast. It's on Brighteon.com. My channel there is HR Report, which stands for Health Ranger Report. And you can also see my articles each day on naturalnews.com. Also, check out Brighteon.tv, which has a daily broadcast Monday through Friday, over 12 hours a day of broadcasts from over 30 different hosts who have amazing shows, amazing information. And then be sure to also check out BrighteonRadio.com, which we are initiating now for the first time in 2022. And it's an audio-only broadcast of different shows and different hosts who have amazing content for you. So if you're looking for content and knowledge and to be informed, you can go to all these sites I've mentioned, Brighteon.com, the community for free speech videos with hundreds of thousands of users, or Brighteon.tv, a broadcast platform with dozens of hosts, or BrighteonRadio.com, the audio-only platform, or you can go to my website, naturalnews.com. Just stay informed. And by doing so, you will help prepare the world to survive what's coming. It's going to be a rough decade for humanity, but we, by being prepared, we can make it through it. We can navigate it, and we can actually thrive during this time and help save the lives of many other people around us. That's what this is all about, folks. That's why I do this. So thank you for listening, and thank you for your support. One last plug, if you want to support our online store, healthrangerstore.com is the URL, and there you can find emergency storable organic lab-tested food that we manufacture. We have our own laboratory. We test everything. We manufacture high-end lab-tested nutritional supplements, superfoods, personal care products, green living products, you know, fragrance-free body soap and dishwasher detergent, and hundreds of products for your life and your health. And that's how we fund the ability to be able to give away these books for free. So support us at healthrangerstore.com, and I thank you in advance for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you. Take care for free. So support us at healthrangerstore.com, and I thank you in advance for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you. Take care.